Hey guys, I'm Sandy.
And I'm Christy.
And we're a little bit dead.
How has your day been?
Girl, we've been working on the lake house for the last 2 days. And getting that put together. And
it's coming along.
Yeah, we've got all the bedrooms are finished. We're loading furniture in and hanging stuff on the walls. And
that's exciting.
Yeah, so we're gonna finish that tomorrow. And then we're going to start on the kitchen. I think it's going to be our next project, and it just needs to be cleaned. Cabinets need to be gone through and thrown out and just that kind
of stuff. Are you going to be able to salvage, like, the cabinets and things?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're just got to clean everything real good, because...
I like how you're keeping that era, that, like, the feel of the bones of that home. Yeah.
Farmhouse, kind of... vintagey.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love going and staying in places or going to visit places that have that vintage vibe anyway.
I have these really cool pictures. Maybe I'll post them somewhere. That were both sets of my husband's grandparents. They're like these really cool old-timey pictures. And I hung those.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
They were like hanging over one of the beds, but changed the placement and did that.
Oh, I love that. That's cool.
Yeah. And, like, all the furniture's old. It was his mom's and his dad's, and so.
Pretty neat.
Anyway, that's what I've been doing.
I went to Market this week.
Yes, I know you went to Market.
And, you know, I always like to come back and tell everybody what to look forward to in the new current fashion that's going to be trending. So, one of the things that was, like, one of the biggest trends that you could see on everything was it's going to be a huge fashion statement to have the blouses that have 3 bow ties on them.
Oh.
Specifically 3.
That's different.
So, you know, they had the pattern material that has the print of bow on it.
Yeah.
But now, and there's still some of that that's out right now, but instead of it being so much of that, it's going to be an actual bow on the blouses that has 3 going down in a row. Yeah.
I don't think I would buy that.
That's what the current hot trend is. That's what it is. I still stand by saying that this year there's going to be a lot of print. You're going to see a lot of pants. Like, we've had print on tops, print on dresses, but you're going to see a lot more pants, jeans, different things that have print on the actual pants.
Mm.
It's going to be big. And sometimes it might be a floral print. It might be an animal print. It might be checkers and stripes or whatever. I saw some geometrical shapes that print on pants. The really loose, comfy, long pants that are like flowy. It almost gives me the vibe of, do you remember when Zigzag Stripe came out and they had all the palazzo pants?
Yes,
that was all the different colors and patterns.
Yeah.
It kind of has given me those Zigzag Stripe vibes, you know.
Okay.
I like those, though, so.
I like a nice comfy pant, though.
They're super comfy, yeah.
Yeah, I love, like, a flowy, comfy pant.
And this particular trip, I don't know what it was. It's like there was just good vibes surrounding us the whole entire trip. That every single vendor that we went into, I've never had this happen. They were like bending over backwards. How can we help you? Let me show you some. Let me take this for you. Can I show you the hot trends right now?
Yeah.
Our best sellers. Like, they were all like that. And I was just like, what happened? Because we've been in there so many times that you can tell these people, like, it's almost like sometimes they act like they could care less if you were there, or they wouldn't even get up to help you at all. Like, we would stand there forever waiting for somebody to come and take our order or whatever. But no, these people were like bending over backwards. When I was inside of the UMG showroom, the sweetest little girls ended up coming to help, and it turned out they were sisters. They were both super young.
Aww,
and
that's
they were like standing side by side saying, which one of us do you think is the oldest? And I was sitting there looking back and forth, and I pointed at this one girl and I said, you are 100% the oldest. And they were like, how could you tell? Everybody always says I'm the oldest. I said, I'm looking at her eyes. She looks like she's already had way too much things happen in the world around her. I can see it. Like, she's got this knowledge in her eyes.
Yeah.
You can tell sometimes when somebody's, like, you know.
Been through some shit.
Yeah, like, she was the sweetest thing. And from that moment, like, she just followed me everywhere and was helping. And by the time we left, this girl was hugging me. And you know I love a good hug.
Yes, Christy does love a good hug. She met me at the car today with, I need a hug.
I'm just giving you fair warning.
I'm not going to
just try to slam it on you. I'm going to tell you ahead of time.
Yeah, at least you do tell me. So, yeah.
I really am desperately in need of a hug. So. But, yeah. No, it was such a good visit. And
well, good. I'm glad you had fun.
I got to go to the wholesale bead store.
I saw on TikTok you posted a picture or something.
I didn't, like, go and buy a bunch of beads and anything like that. But I got to go. We got signed up with the company.
Yes. Okay,
things
cool.
like that. So that was pretty amazing. Like, that was...
Yes.
That was awesome. But, anyway, it was a great trip. And I'm just looking forward to whenever all our new things come in so I can...
Yay!
I want to style it, you know, style the outfits together and stuff. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. But, yeah, it was great.
That's awesome. And you and Linda always have fun together, too.
We do, so. We do. I have the most amazing person. She's an amazing human being.
Yeah, I love
just
Linda.
Really. But so. I think every single person needs to have a Linda in their life.
Oh, for sure.
I really believe that. She is one of the most non-judgmental, caring.
Love her.
Like, she will just... take on the world for you. I mean, she just really would. She's in your corner. I love it. The worst thing in the world is if you do something, when you have people like that in your life that you really look up to them, and then you do something to let them down. Oh my God, that's devastating.
Oh, that's the worst.
You just don't want that to happen very often at all because they're just amazing people.
I've gone to Linda before about, like, business questions. Mm-hmm. She's very knowledgeable about a lot of different things.
She loves to help other people with
that.
She does.
So I've had business questions and I've gone to Linda. And like,
she's
hey.
A cheerleader. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
She will be in your corner cheering you on. And so, like, whenever I started this journey of starting to make jewelry and stuff, I just kind of worried about how that would affect my job because, I mean, I do fashion and stuff, and, like, that's a big deal to me. It makes me happy. I love to make other people happy. But, I mean, she's just really encouraging and just cheering me on and just, like, giving me encouragement. We were walking around at market, and she was just like, these people started exactly the same way that you're doing right now. And look at them. They're now selling wholesale at market. This is crazy, you know. But it is true. We all start our dreams somehow. I did the same thing when I started my baking business. I started by just putting myself out there, and then it just kind of took off one day, and there it was. And it became bigger than I wanted it to be, honestly. So, baking can do that, though.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, you have a really good topic today.
I do. This was something that I had been thinking about, and I called her whenever I was getting off work, and I said, we're going to record tonight because I've got a really good topic.
Yeah, and I knew better than to ask. I just got in the car.
Yeah, because I'm like, nope, we're not talking about it ahead of time. We're going to talk about it in front of each other on recording so this can be just as authentic as possible. But so I had a conversation. I'm just going to call it a conversation. I have a group of friends that we text with each other and stuff. So, and we got to kind of talking about this a little bit today. But there's this thing that is, I think that, okay, I'm going to start off by saying, you know, I've been honest and shared my age on here. Mm. You know, I was letting everybody know on my birthday this year, you know, that I'm 52. I'm in my 50s right now. And I do kind of live, sometimes, like, my age just, like, it's very apparent. It shows.
Yeah.
You know, and some days I probably do dumb things that I'm like, I'm a little too old to be doing that. But I do it anyway because I like to have
fun,
you know.
Yeah.
But there's things that happen on the inside of us as we get older. And I've thought back a whole lot. I will never forget when my dad had moved in with me after my mom passed away. He was sitting at the dining room table with me one day, and he was telling me that he was just looking back on things, and he told me, I wish I hadn't been so hard on you. And I couldn't even understand why he said that, because my dad, like, they were very strict, but I didn't really take it as him being hard on me. I kind of took it as he cared about me and he wanted what was best for me, so that's why they were strict, you know.
Yeah.
I did grow up in a very religious type of household, too, so a lot of that kind of goes hand in hand with it being strict or whatever. But I didn't see that ever really as him not caring about me. I didn't see it as something that just ruined my life. It probably helped in my rebellious department a little bit.
Yeah.
'Cause I did go through some rebellion. I think maybe kids that are raised super strict are a little more rebellious when they start finding ways to get freedom. But I have to say this. I had wonderful, wonderful parents. I didn't always get along with my mom the way I was able to as an adult. But I've also talked about this on the podcast in the past. You know, looking back, I now know some of the things that my mother struggled with that I didn't understand back then. Because it wasn't a thing that people talked about back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no doubt in my mind that my mother had PCOS, that she had a severe hormone imbalance. It answers all the question to all the health issues that she had.
Yeah.
So no doubt if she was alive today, she would be diagnosed with that. For sure, 100%. And then also, you know, with the infertility and stuff, it just kind of really explains that. And then also, the more I have learned about things, you know, I have a granddaughter that has a lot of sensory issues. And, you know, she's had some evaluations where they're kind of wanting to diagnose her and say that she has autism. And then they're turning around later and saying, no, maybe not. She definitely has some sensory issues, though. So there's some things that... she is not able to respond the way another person would.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I think, oh my God, my mother did that. My mother had some sensory issues that would make her absolutely lose her shit.
Same.
You know, I remember as a small child, you know, when she would get to the point that she didn't want any noise in the house at all. No noise. One time, I don't remember who it was, but it was one of our birthdays. Somebody gave us, do you remember those little plastic music toys you used to get? It would come in a pack, and it would have like a flute, a recorder, like all these different instruments that you could play. They were cheap, like dirt cheap.
Yeah.
They probably were like a dollar. I don't know. They were cheap. But one of us had got those for like a birthday present or something. So my sister and I were playing in our bedroom with these little instruments, blowing at them, making these noises. There was one that was kind of like a pan flute, you know?
Yeah.
And that one was my absolute favorite. My sister had the recorder, which is funny because she ended up playing the clarinet later.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, my mother would come in there and like, I'm tired of all this noise. I don't want to hear one more peep out of you guys. Right after she left the room, my sister went, whoo. She made that peep.
She got beat.
As soon as my mother opened the door, she pointed the finger at me, and my mom went to swing and grabbed a shoe and beat my ass. I mean, she beat the holy shit out of me. Like, today's child, I'm telling you, like, I think today's children could never survive being raised by boomer parents.
No.
Us take no shit.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, she already had learned, like... That was her, you know?
Oh, my God, that's
awful. She did. The deal is that it was any kind of noise. Like, she hated music. I'd never met another human being in my life that hated music. But she absolutely hated music. And I remember playing a record one time, and I had that sucker turned down all the way to one. Our old school record players, it would go, like, it was, like, 1 through 9 or 1 through 10 on the little dial. Mm-hmm. You had to turn the dial.
Yeah.
I had it turned down to 1. 1 was the lowest volume you can turn it down besides 0 not being on at all.
Yeah.
And my mother came in and was like, I told you to turn that all the way down. I'm like, that's as low as it'll go. Well, then I got in trouble for back talking. She picked my record up off that record player and broke it in half.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was devastated, you know?
Oh, my God.
You know, and you look back on this now, like, today's children, they would call that abuse.
Oh, yeah. That would have got CPS or something called.
Yes, that is abuse. No, honey, this was life.
Yeah.
This was normal.
Way it was.
This was, like, nobody would have called on my parents and said that was child abuse. You know, back then, you whipped your kids. It was nobody else's business about it. You just whipped your kids, you know? Sometimes when you were out playing the neighborhood, if you did something wrong, the neighbor kid's mama would whoop your ass and then call your mama, so then when you got home, you got your butt whipped again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way life was, you know? Go to your house. Yeah. You wanted to, because at the point, you did what you wanted, as long as you were home by the time the lights came on, you know?
Yeah.
But, okay, so some people would call this generational trauma.
Yeah.
Okay. So the trauma that our parents had, ours, talking about yours and mine.
Yeah.
The trauma they had, they raised us in that trauma.
Yes.
And it kind of passes it on to us, and us in turn, therefore, raise our kids in a way that we push that trauma. We think we're working through stuff, by the way.
Yeah, and we think we're doing, I want to do better than my parents.
Yeah.
And so we do things maybe differently than our parents did.
Oh, my
did.
God, yeah. I cannot think but of a single mother that has not said, I want to do better.
Yeah, I can tell you that I have traumatized my own children.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, same.
I've talked to him. And, but at the time, I thought I was doing better than my parents.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I had four kids that, and I was young.
Yeah. And it was kind of an everyday kind of an occurrence for myself. Now, my dad, I don't think that he realized that because he worked a lot. He worked, like, long shifts and stuff. And so, a lot of times, by the time he got home, we were already, like, going to bed and stuff like that. He kind of dealt with us on the weekends, and I would leave the house, you know?
Yeah.
If he had to go run errands or whatever, I was always getting in the truck. No seatbelt. Not even sitting in the seat. I'd stand in the middle. Instead of the bench seats, I would stand in that middle seat with my arm around my dad, and he would drive me everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
That's what you did back then, yes. You know? But I don't think that he even realized that it was like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, there's probably things that my dad, honestly, himself looked back on and said, because he told me, I was too hard on you.
Yeah.
I was too hard on you. Now, I mean, at this time, basically, they had finally figured out that a lot of those butt whippings I got was because of crap that my sister did. And she blamed me. Oh, girl, I'm going to tell you one time, this dude was driving by and he was in a brand new car, still had the paper tags on the back of the plates. And we used to have this big, huge elm tree. And when I say huge, this thing was huge. Like, you could not have four people wrap their arms around it.
Dang.
I mean, it was a huge, old tree. And so that tree was big. The trunk was huge.
Yeah.
This car goes driving by, and my sister and the neighbor boy from across the street, they were throwing rocks at cars as they went by.
Oh, no.
So they threw a rock and then hid behind the tree. It cracked the windshield on this brand new car. So home dude in the car turns around and looks, and there I am playing in the yard, digging with my little shovel, because I used to make, like, mud pies and stuff.
Yeah.
I just entertained myself. I didn't even play with a lot of neighborhood kids. I just entertained myself. And so I was outside playing. He just automatically assumed I did it.
Oh, no.
So he went up to the door and told my mother. He grabbed me by my arm, took me to the door, and told my mother that I did that. My mom had to pay money for him to have his windshield repaired. And I got my butt tore up. And when my dad got home, I got my butt tore up again.
Oh, no.
And I kept telling him I didn't do it. Yes, you did. He said he saw you. Yes, you did. Stop lying. And my sister kept her mouth shut the whole time. Never told him.
God. See, I was an only child. And so I didn't have that type of problem. But I also didn't have another kid there to take the pressure off of me. Ever.
Oh, yeah.
So I was...
Well, that also means that you didn't have another kid that blamed shit on you.
Well, that's true. No, I got in trouble all the time for shit that I did do. But,
There did come a time that, I mean, we're adults at this point. We have our own children.
Yeah.
And we were having a family lunch. I think it might have been on a Sunday afternoon or something. We were all sitting around we had two dining room tables. At this point, my parents had extended their dining room and made it huge, you know, so we could have all the grandbabies in there at the same time and all this.
Yeah.
And which, by the way, my mother was such a good grandmother. She loved those kids so much. I think every parent is a better grandparent than they are a parent.
Oh, for sure.
But anyway, we were sitting around the table talking, and I was just like, and by the way, do you know how many whoopings that I took for her? And I was pointing at my sister. And my sister just sitting there, she just laughing. She thinks it's so hilarious. And I mean, I was kind of laughing too, because at this point, I'm kind of over it, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, and you still don't believe me. She's just like, what do I not believe you? I said, I did not throw the rocks at that man's car. And she said, yes, you did. He said he saw you. He saw you do it. You did do it. And I'm just looking at my sister and I'm saying, tell her. And my sister sits there laughing. She goes, yeah, it was me.
Oh, my God.
And my mom still said, I don't believe you. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. That's kidding me? Funny.
It's because we as parents don't want to believe that we did something harmful to our children.
For sure.
And it hurts us so bad when we realize, you know, that there is no pain probably as a parent worse than that, to know that you've tried to do right by your kids, you've tried to protect your kids, and there's times that you can't protect them, and sometimes they need protecting from you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with any of that. I didn't have a great childhood for a lot of reasons. My mom was very, medicated.
Yeah.
And my dad was very much a Vietnam veteran. And so I wasn't having a good time.
Yeah. It sounds to me, just from the conversations we've had, that you had a kind of a similar upbringing that I did. Military. And he was very, you know, military strict, on top of Christianity strict, he was also an older parent, because he was in his 40s when I was born. So.
Yeah. But my mom was not always religious, and then got religious later.
Yeah.
And then got real religious. Like, real, real, real religious.
Yeah.
And my dad, I think, went to church and was a Sunday school teacher, but he was also like, didn't believe any of it.
Oh, wow.
Like, he just was doing it because that was what you do.
I think that there's a lot of people that are, quote, religious, that do use it kind of like a country club.
Yeah, it was just what you It's what you do. And, I don't know. I'm trying to tiptoe because I don't want to go into territory. So, yeah, I grew up in a very odd church experience with very strict parents on purity culture and, like, shit like that. And I left home at 16 because I was just done with all of it. And there was some...
Girl, I'm going to tell you something, because I am just... That did not exist whenever I was a teenager.
Yeah.
What was basically, this is how it was in my household. I would be about to walk out the door, and my dad would look at me, snap his finger and point and say, "No boys."
Mm.
No boys. It wasn't, okay, you're going to be hanging around each other, but don't do bad things. No, it wasn't like that. It was, "No boys." And I'm just like, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I feel like I did normal things, but I was guilted all of the time by, you have to save everything for marriage, and if you don't save it, then it's a gift, and if you give it away, and it was just all very guilt-heavy childhood. Yeah. All of my childhood was very guilt. Yeah. Ugh. I didn't do that to my kids. I did other weird shit.
I did, because I became involved in Christianity later in life. Okay, I was raised in the church, but I didn't care anything about it. So I came to, I was so rebellious. I was such a rebellious kid. So I was 24 whenever I came to a point where I knew something had to change in my life. Girl, yeah. I was spiraling bad. People talk about spiraling. I'm going to tell you what. This is spiraling. I hated myself.
Mm.
I hated myself. And I honestly feel very confident, had I not had children, I would have thought about doing that one bad thing. I would have done that to myself. I would have. The one that you can't come back from.
Yeah.
I would have thought about doing that. I actually did at different times think about that.
Because I have thought about it.
I've dealt with my own self-hatred. And this is funny, because I have people all the time say, "Oh, well, you have such a bubbly personality. You're always happy." Let me tell you about people that are always happy. A lot of times...
Robin Williams was always happy.
We're not happy. But I want to be.
Yeah.
And so, is it fake? No, it's not. It's not because you're trying to be fake. It's because... maybe you just don't want to be that person that's living in such darkness constantly, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I had that point in my life where I knew something had to change. and I wasn't even looking for religion when it kind of happened to me. Yeah. And so in that sense, I did end up doing that. I did become so involved. It wasn't just that I was involved in the church. The church was at home, too, because I even had Bible studies in my home. I mean, it was just very intense. And so, I mean, and you know, and you and I have talked about it, and I don't want to get really heavy into religion and stuff, but the fact is, even involving religion, a lot of times parents feel like they're doing the right thing the way that they raise their kids, and then you're going to look back later and say, why was I so hard? Why was I so, like, I didn't give grace where I should? Because even people who really, if you really and truly believe in the Bible, there is so much grace that's talked about. It's beautiful the way it's talked about, honestly. And the fact is, we're supposed to be this way, and we go home and we're not. Yeah. Like, I wasn't giving grace to my children where I should. Now, I was a baby trying to figure out how to be a parent. I didn't want other people to help me because I felt so judged all the time. Yeah. That it's almost like I wanted to prove to the world and myself, I can do this on my own. I don't need you. I loved that little girl so much.
Yeah.
I love that little girl so much. And she's like, I have to say, it was life-changing. And I'm not saying I love her more than my other daughter. I do not. Like there is always so much love in your heart for parents. I cannot understand how parents can do the favoritism thing and all that. I hate that. So much of my childhood trying to raise a child.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I did not allow her to make mistakes sometimes. And so I was hard on her. I feel like even more so than I was on my youngest one, because by the time the youngest one came along, I realized, holy crap, like, this is too much. And at this point, I had already had another talk with my dad where my dad was saying, you need to stop being so hard, because you're going to ruin your relationship with your child if you don't watch what you're doing. Pissed me off. I didn't want anybody's help, even my own parents. I didn't need their help or their input, but that stuck in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And eventually change had to happen. And there's been times in my life where I probably feel like, you know what, I do have anxiety pretty bad sometimes. Maybe I should be medicated. But I don't know, there's something about that time period in my, I go back to that and I'm just like, I don't want to be that person.
I did eventually, I am medicated for my depression and anxiety, but I had a doctor that was like, okay, that didn't work, we're going to try something else. And we found what worked.
Yeah.
And I have been on the same.
Girl, and I'm going to tell you, like, with that whole thing said, you know, at this point I have two kids.
Yeah.
That affected the youngest RT, like, and, you know, and it's crazy because, like, I'm not trying to self-hate whenever I'm saying all these things, okay? I'm not. I'm bringing up a fact that we all either deal with or ignore.
Yeah.
And, like, there is not a child on this earth that has not had some kind of trauma that has happened to them. We all have traumatic things that happen. We do. And the fact is, we grow up and then we have kids. No doubt in my mind that my own traumas. It affected the way that I raised my kids.
For sure.
And right now, I'm seeing my children are just knocking it out of the park, being mamas. That is one of my favorite things in the world, is to sit back and watch them be mamas. But at the same time, I have that worry in the back of my head, because the fact that I know they're trying to overcome their own childhood traumas for things that I put them through, you know. And here's the deal, is like, you know, I know another person, and I'm not going to say any names because I'm not telling this story. It's not my story to tell. But I know another person personally that is struggling right now with things that happened when they were a child. And it's things that they never addressed to their parent until just now. And it's hard to be an adult and to go to your adult parent and tell them these things happened and you were kind of shitty.
Yeah.
You know, how do you do that? You know, especially when you love your parent and you're wanting to be respectful and all that. And so, but the fact is that manipulation is still ongoing. It's almost like that parent never came to that moment. I call it a coming to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us has those moments that we look back and we're like, oh my gosh, you've shared some with me.
Yeah.
Like about your own parenting and stuff. You know, I've had those moments with my kids. It's very humbling and I hate it and it sucks. because, like, you know, and they'll even say, Mom, I don't want you to feel bad. But Mom's going to feel bad.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mom is absolutely going. Yeah. What do you do whenever it is a parent that has never had that moment that they sat back and realized, I'm kind of been a shitty parent sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it just speaks to that parent, too. If they're not, if your child comes to you and you don't acknowledge what they're saying, that's hurtful, too.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that every single parent probably, once you have adult children, are going to have those moments in your life where your adult children tell
you. My children have come to me.
Where you went wrong.
Oh, yeah. My children have. I've had full conversations with my kids.
For those that are raising kids right now, yes. And they're going to tell you what you did that was really shitty. Because it happens. We're human beings and we screw up a lot.
Yeah, I just, I had a conversation with my daughter the other day. And we were talking about stuff when she was kids. And, but one of the things that was brought up was, everybody had a shitty childhood. You're not special. And everybody had a shitty childhood. Everybody had a shitty childhood. And it doesn't...
Some people talk about it and some people don't. Okay.
She was talking about a different situation. But in the situation, somebody was in their 50s talking about, well, I had a shitty childhood and so that's why I am the way I am. No, ma'am.
No.
You're choosing to be the way you are, you know?
Because, like, we have to be responsible for our own actions.
At some point, you have to take responsibility for your own actions. And so, if you're in your 50s acting like a child because you had a shitty childhood, then that's your own decision-making at work there.
If there's anybody, things that you've done wrong, or if you're feeling a certain way because you're thinking about the own things, you know, your own things that you've gone through in your childhood. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, you're not alone. We have all gone through these things. Some people are just not open and talk about it. Now, yeah. We are living in a different time now. Like, back in the day, like, when we were growing up, us Gen X kids,
yeah,
we were not allowed to have feelings at all.
No.
You were not allowed to be sad ever. If you're crying, I'll give you something to cry about. If you are upset, it was go to your room. We were not allowed to have feelings.
Yeah, we didn't get... It was just a different time, and you got your ass beat, and you went to your room.
Yeah.
And then you moved on to the next thing.
And you know what? And the funny thing is I didn't even hate my parents after that.
No.
It was
no.
That's just how it was. I think everybody was pretty much raised the same way.
Yeah, I had a hard relationship with my parents. In my later teens,
and that's
early
normal
20s.
Too. That's pretty normal too.
But I mean, I left home when I was 16 because of what I couldn't deal with it, and I did not live with my parents in high school. I lived here. Did a brief stint in my car, but other than that, I lived here.
Yeah,
my grandmother and
But with all that said,
yeah.
With all that said, like, everybody has gone through different things, but we're living in a time period now where people are talking about their feelings.
Yes.
That could go both directions. I think it's good for people to be able to voice things. It's hard because the fact is there's going to be things that you don't want to hear. You're not going to want to hear all the ways that you screw up.
Is whoever told millennials that they needed safe spaces and shit? And, like, did this whole coddled culture shit. Gen X does not know what to do with that.
Yeah.
You are having all of these feelings that we can't relate to.
No, because it was always suck it up and move on.
Suck it up and go about your day.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, I kind of feel like it's like we didn't hold... this is really kind of a... towing a line to say it this way, okay? So, bear with me on this, but
yeah.
We didn't hold grudges the same way.
No, because, I mean,
we didn't hold on to, like, that's hard. Like, is the hurt still there sometimes? Like, I've been through some things, you know? I have shared on this podcast about how I lost my virginity.
Yes.
Like, I didn't, till this day, does that affect me in any way? Well, of course it does to a certain point, but I have not allowed that in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like we were raised to where bad things happen and then you move about your day. Like, yeah. You just, there was not any of the, oh, poor, pitiful me, let me cry for 6 years about this. It just wasn't done.
No. No, but at the same time, like, you know, I hear the stories and stuff like that, and it does break my heart.
Yeah.
It does. It does. It breaks my heart because I can relate to some of it in two different directions. I can relate to it as being that child, and I yeah. can relate to it as being the parent that, you know, did I do some things good? Yes. Did I do some things terrible? Absolutely. You know, I think that in all, I feel like I tried to do the best I could.
Yeah.
Did I always succeed at that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well,
and I'm only using my own parenting as an example because of the fact that that's personal to me. I've been through that, so I know those things.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a whole generation of adults right now that are raising children that have a lot of things that they're trying to work through. And I think it's good. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a line here.
Yeah.
Because I think it's good that things can be talked about because of the fact that maybe some of those generational behaviors, mm-hmm. maybe it can be changed.
Yeah.
Maybe there can be some changes happen to where maybe the next generation that's raising kids will be able to say, these things did happen, but we have already been through this and we worked through it and we're not going to do these things.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, as far as the whole deal with being strict, I'm not mad at somebody who raises their children with a certain amount of strictness. Because the fact is, whenever it comes down to it, the reason why my parents did that is because they wanted what was best for me. And it's not that they didn't want me to do bad things, it's that they didn't want me to have the bad consequences.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of my bad consequences was that I completely lost most of my teenage years. Did not have those. Now, I will say this. When my husband and I started empty nesting, we both went through a little period there where we kind of acted
did some teenage
like we were
stupid.
We were dumb teenagers for a while there.
Oh, my God. I love that for you, though.
But yeah. It was so cool because it was almost like we started dating again and just
yeah.
really spending that time that we didn't have because we weren't married before we had kids, you know. We didn't have that time together beforehand, so
yeah.
that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we still love spending time together, so that's yeah. cool.
Yeah, it is. Y'all been married a long time. Like, I've been married 24 years next month.
Yeah. And that's amazing. That is amazing.
I'm pretty proud of myself,
there's so much to it, you know.
Yeah.
One of the cool things I can tell you about this, I'm going to tell you where millennials knock it out of the park. I can sit back now and watch the way millennial dads are.
Yeah.
My God, they are parenting like pros. Like, they are doing things that Gen X dads, that boomer dads would never do.
Yeah. Okay. So, my husband is a boomer.
Yeah.
And so, my poor children got the worst of both worlds.
They got double whammy.
So they had a boomer dad and a Gen X mom. So, yeah,
woo!
They got their asses tore up regular.
Yep.
Yeah, but
I love, though, the way that dads are taking responsibility with taking care of and nurturing children.
Yeah.
Things that were pushed on moms that it was 100% only mom's responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Because guess what? Moms today are overwhelmed sometimes. Guess
yeah.
what? Moms back then, we were overwhelmed and we had no help.
Here, listen. Hey, all you millennial... Sorry, I just had a stroke. Hey, all you millennial moms that are overwhelmed, wah. You got husbands that help you do shit.
Oh, my gosh.
And my boomer husband did not change diapers.
Nope. Neither
did not do none of that.
Nope. And that is true, and maybe that's a good thing to be acknowledged to them. You guys have partners.
Yeah, we had husbands that went to work, and this is for the women.
Yep, and when they came home, we still did dinner, we still cleaned up, we still put the kids to bed. We still had to keep up with laundry and everything else. And, you know, and I still worked.
Yeah.
I didn't work full time. I worked part time. But I still worked and still had to take care of everything.
Yeah.
So, you know what? There was times that I was so overwhelmed that I took it out on my kids.
Oh, absolutely. I did that 100%. Took all of that out on my kids.
They were there.
And they were there.
That's not an excuse, but they were there, so they were the ones that ended up taking the brunt of it.
I would line my kids up and everybody. I am not, when you've got four screaming kids that are fighting and pushing and shoving and doing, acting crazy, and you're overwhelmed, what do you do?
Yeah. I can assure you, even with all the mistakes that we as parents have made, that there's not another human being on this earth that we love more than our children.
Oh, for sure.
There's not a thing that we would not do for our children.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, back to kind of the topic that I kind of wanted to bring up.
Yes.
Like, all this is being said to make this point. There are people that are stuck in this lapse of generational trauma.
Yeah.
They're stuck in it because they're not talking about it. They're not working through it. And maybe they're trying to do better, but by trying to do better, they're causing trauma in a different way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also don't have any hope whatsoever, 0% possibility, that there will ever be a child that exists that does not have any kind of trauma at all.
Okay.
Because we live in this world. And we're all humans, and we screw up.
It's, and when I went with millennials, it's not that I mind talking about it. I don't mind talking to my kids about whatever they want to talk about. It's, are we talking about it in a healthy way? Are we going to be mad about it forever? Are we fixing to talk through this and get over it? Like, that, I don't mind. But the just went to went wah, I don't want to have time for that.
Yeah, I got you. I understand. Girl, I'm telling you, like, for me, the hardest part is the self-loathing. The self-loathing.
Oh, yeah. I went through, when I got all of my kids grown, and then they started, you know, saying, well, when I was a kid, you did this. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I had that realization about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago.
I can only hope that my kids have the same grace for me that I did for my parents, too. Because I'm telling you, like, when I tell you that I had good parents, they loved us beyond reason. They were good parents. They were wonderful. And, but they weren't perfect.
I was very close to my mom after, I was probably 25 before I was close to my mom. And I had all my kids. I was around my mom, but we were not close.
Mine happened right after I had my first child. So it was still during my teen years.
Yeah.
But after, once I had my daughter and I was living on my own and I was having to be an adult, even though I really, by legal age, was not an adult, yeah. I was an adult at that point. That's when I became close with my parents, and we got to a point that my parents were our best friends. You know, my husband and I would go on double dates with my mom and dad. We would do stuff together. We would go to their house on the weekends and hang out just like you would with your friends.
That's fun. Yeah, so my parents got divorced when I was in high school. And my mom just was making decisions that I didn't like. And I was already not speaking to my dad. And she was a grown-ass adult. I was not going to tell her what to do. But I also wasn't going to be a part of it. When you want to pull your head out of your ass, here I am. But until then, like, you can come to birthday parties and shit. Like, but I'm not going to talk to you every day. And so I was not close with my mom until after her second divorce.
Gotcha.
And after her second divorce is when we got close and became, like, best friends.
I bring it back to the, I love the being able to have the conversations and the dialogue and to work through stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you if it's, because the deal is it needs to be the right time when it happens.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, that I have an inkling out there, even the ones that are still, if you're an adult that's raising kids right now and you still have a shitty parent, and they're like our age or older, the odds are they really did love you. They might have did some shitty things, but they just have not worked through their own crap yet. I'm still working through my own stuff from my childhood. I still am.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let that affect, and I'm not going to sit around and cry about it. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that my parents loved me so much, and they did everything that they could trying to do it the best way.
Yeah. My parents, and I have a good relationship with my dad even now. My parents loved me, and I think that they were doing the best that they could.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Yeah.
So I chose, I'm gonna not be here for this. But my parents loved me.
Yeah. I honestly kind of feel like I'm in a better place now too, because I've lost both of my parents.
Yeah.
And the good news is that the whole question of did they love me, did they do the best they could, that was all way resolved way before they passed away. Like, I had a fantastic relationship with them. My dad, yeah, like, he hung the moon. That was the very first man that I ever loved with my whole heart, was my dad.
Yeah.
Just a good man, and he would do anything for anybody. JC tells me so much good stuff about my dad all the time. He really was a good man.
Yeah.
Like, he really was. And my mom saying, they would give the shirt off their back to help somebody. They were just good people. I've seen a lot of people go through a situation where they lost a parent, and it sucked to see them grieve when they lost a parent because they didn't have a relationship at all with that parent, and that is just tragic to me. I don't ever want there to be a time that, for some reason, my kids don't want to have a relationship with me.
Yeah,
you know?
My family dynamic. My grandmother was from Minnesota, so she had no family here, so I don't none of that side. Which I'm friends with Chip and Karen are my only two cousins that I have on that side.
Oh wow, are Chip and Karen, are they brother and sister? Or are they cousins?
No, they're cousins.
Okay, gotcha. I'm on the same page.
I'll admit I don't get any Mother of the Year awards at all. I just was not. I didn't give a lot of grace when I could have, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly the point I'm making. Exactly. I think I had it a little, like, I had grown up a little bit by the time Sadie was born, to where I was not, like, there's things that I allowed Sadie to do that I might not have allowed Brittany. I mean, it's kind of, it kind of goes hand in hand. You just kind of learn as you go. I was learning as I went.
And
I was a child.
Yeah, and your kids are spread out. I had four kids in like 4 years.
Yeah, back to back. Yeah.
I had twins, and then I had two boys from 2001 to 2005. Mm-hmm. 2001 to 2005. I had four kids.
Yeah.
So I was not given myself grace, and I damn sure did not give
it. Katie was still in junior high when Brittany graduated high school. She, Brittany's first year in college, Sadie would have been in eighth grade, I believe. So, I mean, that's a big jump in as far as the things that they're going through, as far as school life and social life and things like that. I don't know.
But yeah, I've had some tough conversations with my kids about their childhood and this and that, you know, and I'm like, I feel bad about it, but what are you going to do now? I mean, all I can do is be a better person. There's nothing. I can't go back and change it. So, we have to move forward. And I've had some hard conversations with some of my kids. And we have to just work through it. And, you know.
To summarize this whole thing. I suck, you suck, we all suck.
We all suck.
I mean, I don't know how else to say it. There's gonna be things that have happened to you in your childhood that you feel a certain way about. Be careful with your own parenting, because the fact is your child is going to grow up, and one day they're gonna come to you and they're gonna.
You're gonna damage your kids just as badly as you feel like you were damaged.
Yep. as hard as you try not to, it's just something that happens. But there are the possibility that there are going to be some parents that are not going to be open to have that dialogue. And I am speaking to younger adults right now when I say this. There will be parents that are not open to that dialogue. There'll be parents that are not just not in a place that they're ready to talk about it yet. Please respect that. You know, that they just may not be ready. And honestly, having a conversation when they're not ready, it's not going to help anybody anyway.
No.
It's not going to make you or them feel any better. But the thing to focus on is the things that, and I think that's what we've been doing, the things that you feel like it caused you trauma, well, you know, do better. Maybe try not to lose your shit on your kids.
Right? And here's the thing is, like, I damaged my children in a completely different way than when I was damaged.
Exactly. That's because the whole point I was making.
Yeah, because I was trying to do different than my parents did.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all this the way I wanted to do it, and it was different. My kids are still traumatized by shit that I did to them. So it doesn't matter what you do as a parent, you're going to traumatize your kids.
Okay,
I
take everything I said back. Just have grace for your parents because you're going to fuck up too.
Like, just...
I don't know what else to say.
But I have four kids who all graduated high school, did not get pregnant in high school, are all four successful employed adults that are not on drugs. So overall, I'd say I did a pretty good job.
I have a friend that she used to say that her job as a parent was to keep their kids out of hell and jail. And it always cracked me up whenever she said that.
Yeah.
But, because, I mean...
Because I have a stepson that's in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was traumatized as a kid.
Yeah.
So.
If you got stuff to work through, you got to work through it yourself.
And I tried a couple of times. He was just like, I like it when you talk to me because it feels like you're a good mom to me. Mm-hmm. And he was 40. He was in his late 30s. But anyway. But yeah, he's dead. Because he was traumatized. And he couldn't deal with it. And he didn't deal with it in a healthy way. And he did a lot of drugs. And he did a lot of reckless shit.
Mm.
And my husband takes that on himself. He had a hard time with that.
Bless his heart. And I guarantee you that he felt like he was doing the best that he was supposed to do.
Yeah. He did. I mean, did my husband do some things wrong and go to prison about 8 years? Yeah. Brad was 14 when my husband went to prison. So, it just wasn't a good situation. But he also didn't handle it well.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, if you need to have conversations with your parents, be kind to us. Because we all did the best we could. And you win some, you lose
some. I think most did. Some did not. I'm going to throw that out there. Some did not do what parents are selfish and self-centered, and it sucks. And if you're in that position, I'm so sorry. I hate that.
Yeah.
Love your kids. Awful. Put your kids first.
Sometimes people have a child, and they should not be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
That is a completely different conversation.
You're right. You're right.
Just because you have a child does not make you a mommy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There are so many people that I've come across that don't even raise their own kids, and it just shocks the mess out of me. I'll tell you what. Would my kids have had a better life if I had allowed somebody else to raise them because I was not ready to raise kids? I can't answer that.
I don't know.
Don't know. But I can tell you that I love them the best that I thought I could. And I'm so proud of them, you know?
Yeah.
I love your kids. I've gotten to know some of them, you know?
Yeah. My kids love you.
Anyway, okay, so I take back everything I said a while ago, and I'll tell you this. the moral to this whole story is I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say, but it needs to be brought up. You know, if nothing else, maybe just to let you know you're not alone out there, because everybody kind of feels the same way.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe? That's what the situation that me and my daughter were talking about the other day, and you know, and I just told her when it was said that your shitty childhood doesn't make you special, it just doesn't, because everybody had a shitty childhood. And that's why...
In certain ways, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, in some way or another, everybody had a shitty childhood. So either be an adult and deal with it, or I don't know what to tell you, is where I'm at with all of it. Because...
Well, that this conversation has made me feel better.
I feel like I'm being, like, super, like, blunt. But, I mean, it's just like... I don't know. I'm in a mood.
If anybody wants to talk about this topic,
tell us about your shitty childhood.
Yeah, send us an email. If you have things that you're still trying to work through, let's talk about it. Hey, we'll listen.
Yeah, we want to talk about it.
Yeah, so send us an email and we'll open some dialogue with you. You can contact us at werelabitdead@gmail.com.
werelabitdead@gmail.com.
Y'all, please don't forget to like and subscribe whenever you're listening to our podcast. Yes. That helps us, and we love to hear from you guys. Yep, so tell your friends about us. Yeah. We love to hear from new people. We do have a 1-year anniversary coming up soon.
That is in November.
And we want to do a listener episode. So
yes.
Y'all, if you have some different things that you want to share, some topics you want to talk about, or if you just want to tell us what you've thought about our podcast, anything besides telling us that little children in the state of Texas should die, we don't want to hear that anymore.
Yeah, we don't want to hear that anymore. So.
But yeah, y'all just send us all the good stuff. Send us all the bad stuff. We don't care. We'll be a listening ear for you.
I love that for us.
I do too.
All right.
All right, guys, we will talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.